to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Hello, 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 how everybody? How everybody is you? And indeed, is everybody well? I hope everybody's well. I've been really weird today. I noticed that I was trying to do some soldering, and every time I tried to apply my brain to hold this thing in my hand and push it forward onto the work, my hand was shaking. It's never done that before. I've usually got like surgeon-like precision. So, there's vibration and it's kind of going a bit, but it's like there's a thrilling sensation that is going on. Almost like a kind of, the world is turning a little into pins and needles. Maybe I'm suffering nervous damage. Anyway, so we'll see if that's a reality. I was looking at some chemtrails today. Pretty strong chemtrails. But as soon as I got in, I decided that I'd take some magnesium malate. This is magnesium based on malic acid. I'm chewing lots of vitamin C, but I can see, that thing has gotten to me. That has definitely gotten to me. So I'm going to, check out my cilantro. I've got some cilantro growing outside. Mind you, it's probably got the stuff all over it now. Ah, bollocks. Anyway, we'll see. Ah, well. You know, it's taken me a long time to run all the way down the corridor to get to Studio B. As you know, it's such a long way. and by the way, I was playing on Wolf Spirit Radio. I was playing a prayer by Alex Collier. It was done by a listener who's put the two together. He had, you know, somebody said, "Alex, can you give us a prayer?" And he just kind of came out with that. And then I think was it Doug? Maybe it's Doug Auld. Yes, Doug Auld, put the music to it and, put it out. I think it is. Yeah. Cause it says the prayer by Alex Collier rather than a prayer by Doug Auld, by Alex Collier. Anyway, yes, indeed. So this is great. Now today I was, just due to have Ms. Mug. Hey, let's just freak her out. Let's call her on her mobile and see what's going on. Candid camera, she forgot. She said she'd be there. She said there'd be, she'll be there at 5, she says. At 5, so where are you? See?
Hello?
At 5, you said, sweetheart?
Say what?
It's JP, you're out of breath, you've been running to Studio B.
Oh, you know what, sweetheart? I don't have any internet. The internet's been going off and on all day today. And so I just got home, I tried to check, and I don't have any internet.
All right. Well, anyway, I've got you here. Make yourself comfortable.
Okay, you can do me that way.
Yeah.
See how you saved my ass?
Always. We're always, you know, there's always been a very straight, well, I mean, look, they know that when we get together, we can put some, when I say they, our guides, our guidance and our counsel, the people that, you know, are off planet working through and with us are, you know, have a great opportunity to get some stuff out. So here you go. So without any further ado, Ms. Sam, Doctor, where do I say? Ms. Sam, Doctor, Mug, Doctor, Ms. Sam, Ms. Doctor, how do we put all this together? How does it work these days?
Just call me Sam.
Sam Muggsy indeed is the, is the moniker, yeah. So, sweetheart, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Have you made some breakthroughs?
I have. I'm finally getting to the bottom of what the dark cabal has been doing as far as the health issues and breaking people's bodies down. So I'm very excited about that because now we know how to correct it. And I also came up with some, like precautionary cocktails that you can make for yourself to help rebuild the body and keep it strong as we're moving forward and, you know, trying to get away from all the poisoning that we've been subjected to. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, that's brilliant. You know, as I was saying just before I managed to call you, that I looked up in the sky today and I saw loads of, I saw this big wispy chemtrail cloud thing, and I was talking to my neighbor and I was saying, you know what that is? He said, oh, no, I don't know what that is. And I said, that's a chemtrail. I said, I didn't know what a chemtrail was. Right. You know, he's just come up from England and he's, you know, I said, well, when they come in the sky, people get ill afterwards, you know, and as I speak, you know, I can feel this kind of little knot thing in the back of my throat kind of forming. And my hands are vibrating weird. You know, it's like I'm trying to hold my hand steady and it's kind of shaking around.
Right. That's because you've been subjected to poisons and your body reacts. It shakes. Think of the people that have Parkinson's or MS or autism. They shake because their body is being poisoned. So what you have to do is detox and get that crap out.
Exactly.
What is really, really, really good, and I cannot stress this enough, is using either like a photon or a negative ion. Look up negative ions. Positive ions are missing an electron or a molecule or a photon, which makes them poisoned. And that's what Western medicine does, is they take substance from the earth and then they whack off a photon or electron and it makes it a poison. So it's called a positive ion. If you look at a negative ion, it carries an extra a photon or molecule or an electron, and it makes it healing. And then the negative and the positive molecules or electrons, they're magnetically drawn to each other. So if you look at, let's say a positive ion has one electron and a negative ion has three, they're going to be drawn to each other like, you know, a man and a woman in a bar, or two people that are chemically or chemistry drawn to one another. And then they consummate their relationship. And when they do, the negative ion will pass an electron or a photon or a molecule to the poison ion. So now that they both have two, which makes them neutral, and then they just fall to the ground.
So, and that's tantric healing.
That's the way you want to heal, is you want to be able to surround yourself with negative ions so that you're neutralizing any poison. You don't want to be symptom orientated. You want to attack any poison that's in your body. So you can do this with ozone. You can do this with Tesla's violet ray wand. You can do this with essential oils. You can do this with frequency. And so, like, you know, so many people are into, I'm going to blow you away right now. So many people are into, natural health. Well, I'm a natural doctor. And when I got into it, I started looking around and going, you know what? This is the same crap as Western medicine, but only it just has a green label. You're still symptom orientated. You need to get to the root cause of what's causing these problems. And where you want to go and what you want to be focusing on is your DNA, your chromosomes, and your cells. When you take an antibiotic, or most of your Western medicines are going to have some kind of a toxin in it that breaks you down from your fundamental essence. So you need to rebuild that. And there are different remedies out there, but my favorite is frequencies. And you can go to FreeX16. It's FreeX16. And they have like some mirrored websites that try to con you into going there. You want to look at for the logo that's like the Matrix. It's black with some lime green in it. Look for that logo. But go read up on that, or go read up on Spooky 2, which was Einstein's theory. Tesla knew about this in the 1800s, and then he actually took it another step further, where he actually created a plasma light that was, it started from the essence of frequencies, which everything starts from a frequency, and then it goes into a light or a plasma. So Tesla knew about this in, I believe it was 1897, and that's why they came out with the Tesla tubes or violet wands. And you can still find those on eBay. But I want to caution you that the new ones are not effective. You got to get what they call on eBay, it's the quack medical devices. Those are the real ones, and you want to be able to make sure that it works. If it quits working, then you probably need a new wand, because it has a gas in it or a plasma in it that actually will heal skin cancer, all kinds of things, because it makes, again, those negative ions. So you're not being specific. You're just anything that's a poison in your body, you're being able to neutralize it. And this is how we're going to heal ourselves. This is the core essence. So did I shock you?
I've been working on trauma, and the core essence of the humanity's birth trauma. So very little has shocked me. And you know, as you say, the idea of naturopathics, they're still not quite with the frequency. You know, the homeopathic doctors, they've got it. And the chiropractors, they've got it.
No, they don't. It's still symptom-orientated, because here's what I'm finding. Okay, I love chiropractors.
Well, let me just say, the chiropractor that I was in touch with, who healed me, he had it. He was an American. He was a man called Lynn. But anyway, so go ahead.
He did not heal you. That is a misnomer. You heal yourself. So he could have given you a sugar pill, and because you believed it healed you, your mind talked to your body to heal yourself. But let me explain something. So when I'm dealt with an issue, like some kind of a disease, meaning you're more acid, which caused a problem that's probably long-term, right? When I'm dealt with that, I don't just give somebody a pill and kick them out my door, and 15 minutes later, I'm moving on to somebody else. What I do is I have to be Sherlock Holmes, and I have to get in and look at somebody's body and start peeling back those onion layers of this combination of things that you've done in your life that have created this disease. And so one of the things that we do is we look at the teeth. Okay, so like give me a disease, something that, you know, give me one.
You want me to give you a disease?
Don't give it to me. I mean, tell me that sounded bad.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. My teeth are in a terrible condition, you know. Years and years of not being able to afford a dentist, and all the fillings have fallen out, and it's just stumpy stuff. So, I mean, really, really don't try and focus on my health, because it's just a mess. It's not, you know, I'm just trying to be happy from within. That makes it all right for me. But anyway,
Stop.
Yeah.
The teeth. Okay. There is a toothpaste called boron that you can use that will rebuild your enamel. So you lost all your fillings. Well, you were lucky. That's actually a bonus, because the mercury, what we're finding, is actually causing a lot of disease, which starts at that fundamental core of your whole body breaking down. So now you're at the precipice of rebuilding your teeth. You can regrow your teeth.
Well, that's what they say. I want that. I've been asking for that. I've been asking my guides for it because...
Well, I'm telling you, hush.
Yeah. I bought some.
You have to alkaline your body so you cannot go into the acid arena. So sugar is an acid. Gatorade is an acid. Pepsis are an acid. Anything like that is an acid.
I haven't touched that crap for years now. I take Davy Borax. Which has got boron and does alkalize the body and is good for the belly, is slowly reducing the belly into a normal place. So
all
is good.
Well, other things that you can do too is like, here's another thing too. You need to be taking plant-based substance, supplements. You don't want to be like, okay, so let's say, you have, weak bones. Okay, so you go to the doctor, Western doctor, and they prescribe calcium, right? That calcium that you think is going to be building your bones actually ends up as plaque in your arteries because you have to take a plant-based calcium with silica for your body to absorb it and create healthier bones.
Plant-based calcium with silica. Where do you get plant-based calcium from? Diatomaceous earth? That's algae.
Silica, yeah. Diatomaceous earth and silica. Silica is amazing because when you... Silica will turn it... It's a crystal, so it's also helping with your ascension process and your bones and healing the water and creating a nice frequency in your body is what you want to do. So they're like little miniature tuning forks in your body. But when your body needs calcium, it turns into calcium. So what I do is I like to take, think green, green barley, wheat grass, blue-green algae, chlorella, nori, things like that. So I get a bottle of green juice. And then I just add it to my iced tea and I sip on that all day long. I also give it to my dogs because it's really healthy. But since I've started drinking that, my energy is just like off the charts. I feel great. I know my body's healing. Wheatgrass is phenomenal. So those are the kinds of things that you need to do to rebuild your teeth. You can also use frequencies. I have a point probe that you put on the tooth that will stimulate the tooth. But, okay, so let's go back to my original scenario. Let's say that you have a disease like a kidney disease. And by the way, Western medicine has trademarked a lot of these disease names because it's their industry. So that's why naturopaths, we don't use those words because those like Kleenex and antifreeze, those are all trademark names. But just for this example, I'm going to start with like an acid kidney problem, okay? So when you are a quantum healer, what you're going to do is you look at the teeth and you see what teeth could be corresponding with the kidneys. Then I go and I look at the chromosomes and I see, okay, what chromosomes are broken or damaged. And then I see what organs that it corresponds with and where the weakness is. Then the next thing I do is I look at emotions. Is there a belief pattern or emotions that are attached to this disease or causing this acid state? Then you can go from there and look at the back, because the back, the spine, will hold that emotional frequency or that information, which is now breaking down the meridian lines that correspond with the organs that communicate, so now they're not going to fire right. And then if you're carrying anger, you carry your anger in your liver. So if you're really pissed off, you're going to carry that anger there, which is going to cause acid, which is going to cause your teeth to break down, which is going to cause an emotional problem, which then affects the back, and you're carrying it in your back. And not only that, but what people don't understand is that it triggers a part in your brain, and now your brain is not firing correctly. And then when you go to the grocery store, your consciousness is not in tune with healthy. So now your choices are, oh, I'm going to eat a McDonald's. I'm going to have this horrid milkshake. I'm going to have, you know, these gross things that are actually going to contribute to more of the same of what you have, because even your consciousness is not firing right, because your pineal gland might be full of fluoride and calcified over. So you can't hear your oversoul giving you directions to live a healthier life. So it's all mixed in together. So if you want to get well, you have to look at the whole package. And you can't just think, oh, I'm going to take my boron and I'll be happy. It's more than that. You have to look at the whole picture of you and how it's all connected and what's related to this and that and et cetera. So did I overwhelm you now?
So what do we need to do then?
Okay. First of all, what we can do to heal ourselves is mentally make a choice. I want to get well. Because the moment that you make that choice, I'm well. Not I'm trying. I'm trying is like on training wheels. I am well, and I'm going to be well. Once you do that, your brain will ignite. There's a part of your brain that turns on, and it actually talks to all the cells in your body. And your cells will then go to work. But you also need to be very, very careful that you're not taking something like Advil or Tylenol, because let's say people don't know this either.
What's the, you know, because in Britain we have, you know, and all over the world, we'll have different names for the same chemical. So what's the basic chemical of Advil and Tylenol? What is that? What is it based on? Do you know?
I don't know that it's all listed, but all I know is that when you have, okay, so let's say that you're going to have a kidney and you want this to be a healthy kidney. So what you need is a lot of cells, healthy cells. So you need flexible, pliable cells, and you get that through fats, really good fats like real butter. You know, that crappy imitation stuff, you can't even get bugs to eat it. It's one molecule away from plastic. I mean, it's horrid. It ends up as plaque in your arteries again. But what you want to do is, okay, so you start with your cells, and you get a lot of cells together, and then all those healthy cells will start to conjugate in the kidney areas, and they start connecting, and they interlink, right? So there's a nice little magnetic shield around them that draws them together to all form together to make a kidney. When you take Advil, Tylenol, ibuprofen, it has some chemical in it. I don't know what it is, but it actually will deplete that magnetic strip around the cells so that they're not magnetically drawn to each other, and then you start getting holes in the kidney, and that's where it starts to break down.
And the holes are where the nung gets in.
Well, yeah, parasites. What people have overlooked and nobody's talking about is there are over 1,000 parasites that Western medicine does not diagnose. I think there's maybe just 10, 12, I don't know, maybe 20, that they do recognize, but there's over 1,000 that they don't, and most of them won't even tell you that they have them. I watched a video where some guy had a big lump on his back, And so they cut it open, and the doctor was saying, oh, look, it's dead cells. My butt, it was not. It was a bunch of egg sacs from parasites. So they won't even tell you the truth that you have parasites. Most of us are flooded with parasites. All you have to do is a good cleanse, and you'll see that, you know, a fibromyalgia, uterus problems, cramps, diabetes is, you know, parasites in the pancreas. It's all over. And your colon and colon cancer, all of that is started all, I would say about 90% of all degenerative diseases begins with parasites. So once you start, Dr. Hulda Clark and Royal Rife, they knew about it on YouTube. You guys can go look it up. Dr. Hulda Clark did a book called The Cure for All Diseases, and it all started with parasites. And if you look at the chemtrails are affecting the parasites in your body.
They like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the human body is supposed to last 1,000 years, and it's all written in the Bible. There's all kinds of testimony that way back when they used to live to be, you know, 700, 800, 900, and really good, healthy. And the reason why we're not now is because we're loaded with parasites. They started injecting us with parasites when we were kids. That's what all the, when we were babies, that's what the vaccines are all about. That's what autism is about, and all these other childhood diseases start, most of them start from these stupid parasites, and then they inject the baby, you know, a year later or 6 months later with mercury and other toxins that poison the parasites, and then it's the feces of the parasites that makes people shake, vomit, pass out, have all these problems. It's because of the parasites.
Sorry. Parasite made me want to eat this carbohydrate.
Carbohydrates, you need to be careful because you're feeding your parasites.
They're not going to kill them.
And then they start breeding. And, you know, I got into iridology, which is, you know, the study of the eyes, because the eyes actually reflect what's going on inside the body. And what I started noticing is that everybody that I was seeing had massive tunnels and caves, what I call tunnels and caves, evidence in the eye of parasite activity. And it will make a tunnel, like from your colon up into the brain or out into the kidneys, or you can see even into the heart. So you have to be really careful. And because they've been spraying it in the chemtrails too, nematodes, so you have to be really careful killing these things. You can pass out. And if you go to the hospital, they'll tell you you're having a stroke or an aneurysm, or, you know, they need to do an autopsy in your brain. I mean, I've heard some really horror stories, and that's all it was from parasites. So you want to make sure that you're taking activated charcoal and some kind of a bentonite clay or the teramin clay, so it absorbs the poisons as you're detoxing the parasites. But once you start getting rid of those parasites, you're going to see that the rest of the house of cards of ill health starts to rebuild itself once the parasites are out of your body.
Yeah, I think the key to healing, really, is to stop the thing that is the irritant. Is to
exactly.
Remove the irritant. It's like, you know, if you continue to have that rope rub against your arm every day, you're gonna the arm's gonna get some kind of weirdness. You know, it's gonna, because the skin's just gonna start giving up trying to repair itself.
Well, look at diverticulitis. Diverticulitis is what.
I'd like to. What is it?
Intestines, and the fibers in your intestines come apart, so you can't eat seeds or anything because it goes through these holes. So these poor people are going to emergency room, but nobody ever tells them, hey, look, pal, you got parasites and it's munching away at your intestines, And if you start killing off these parasites, your body will repair itself. Instead, Western medicine wants you to, their goal is to maintain your disease so that they can make more money off of you. That's their goal. They have no desire, and even the top pharmaceutical guys have admitted that they're not there to heal you. They're there to create profits.
Yeah, it's a business, and, you know, they always use the excuse, well, it's a business, you know, what do you expect? You know,
it is,
we're not being evil, we're just a business. Bollocks.
But it is evil, because if you know that somebody really has parasites and instead you're diagnosing them with cancer, which cancer is a trademark name and its meaning is for fungus and parasites. Dr. Hulda Clark had talked about that. But once you start to get rid of that, then you'll see that your cancer will go away, and you can get cancer, and I'm saying cancer like C-A-N-S-I-R, because I'm not using their trademark name, but there are ways that you could get rid of it in like a week, you know. All you have to start doing is start detoxing for candida, funguses, and parasites, and your problem disappears. But instead, Western medicine doesn't make any money at that. So because baking soda is how much? A box. And they can't make any money. So instead, they do chemotherapy. And cancer is actually on the acid scale at a 5.0. Chemotherapy is actually worse than the cancer. It's a 4.0 on the acid scale. And then if you look at Coke is a 3.0, Gatorade's a 2.0 on the acid scale, and then morphine's a 0.15555. So the bad thing about taking morphine as a painkiller is that it actually shuts down your central nervous system, which controls your whole body, and it keeps your blood alkaline. And if your blood gets too much acid for more than 4 minutes, you die. So when you take morphine, you're putting in the most acid you possibly could and shutting down the body's ability to alkaline itself. So that's a suicide trip right there. Well, what business do they have to be giving that crap to you anyway? To me, doesn't it make sense that they should be giving you, you know, an alkaline something, like a smoothie or something that's on the alkaline side of a 7.4 or, you know, just give you tons of alkaline stuff, but they don't. They won't even give you healthy vitamin C or, you know, things that you need. You're lucky if they'll give you magnesium.
This is what we used to in the old days when I was young. You know, if you had stomach upset, you had milk of magnesia, which was simply magnesium oxide with water in it. And it's really difficult to patent that, and so that's been phased off the market. But basically, you can make your own. If you take a piece of magnesium block, you know, like these fire starters, you know, scrape that onto a thing and let it burn. That white powder, you add that to water, and that is milk of magnesia, and that will settle your stomach and alkalize your body. There you go.
Did that blow
your mind?
Yeah. Well, listen to this. I've had people that have gone into the hospital and, you know, emergency unit, and they're terrified to be there because they just don't trust the doctors, and they know that they lie to them, and they've done their own research. So they call me up and they say, hey, get your butt down here. So I usually will go in a pair of shorts or a mini skirt or something and a T-shirt. You know, I don't look doctorish at all. And I'll have the doctors give them magnesium. You know, or I'll have them request that they want magnesium. So they pretty much have to give a fight to get their magnesium. But within 15, 20 minutes, they're ready to go home. Their problems are gone. And I don't know what my problem was. I'm ready to leave now. And so that's why they don't like to give you magnesium. They don't like to give you vitamin C.
I am over IV. Intramuscular or intravenous magnesium?
I don't do intravenous anything because I just don't trust it. There's too many problems. But
so
here's
you mean,
what I like.
Well, I mean, in what form do you say good magnesium, then?
I'm going to tell you.
I'm very impatient, you know, Matt, Sam. You know.
Here's the thing. Frequencies. I don't have to take a pill or a powder or go find anything. I just get my computer out. I go get the frequency for magnesium. I put a headset around my waist, and I start playing the frequency for magnesium. And my body doesn't know the difference from taking a liquid or a pill or intravenous from the frequencies. So why won't you just do the frequencies?
Well, there you go. So now I remember Shari talking about this. Shari Edwards talking about the frequencies, and she actually got them in a on a fundamental level. I mean, she measured it from somebody who was. Who was ill and needed a broken bone repair, and she sang the note that she intuitively sang. And when she analyzed the frequency, it was exactly the frequency that is between, so therefore it represented both, calcium and magnesium, which is the materials you need to grow bone. Isn't that fantastic?
Right.
So the frequency of calcium, the frequency of magnesium, you probably can balance them by, you know, shifting the frequency a little bit, shifting the phase. But, yeah, that's the one. And she actually created bone growth. Her son was involved in a motorbike accident and smashed his kneecap to pieces. You know, they literally just pulled fragments out. There was no kneecap there. And, she was determined, and she sang, and she sang and sang and sang this note. And day by day, this thing reappeared in the X-rays. First the size of a dime, and then it grew bigger and bigger and bigger, and now it's normal.
Well, now I'm going to work with Shari. I know Shari. I've had her on my show quite a few times. But I'm going to work with her because what I'm doing is I'm taking it another step further where I'm working with sound frequencies that promote photons, electrons, molecules, and it works around the dimension around our body. And then it reconfigures the information around the auric field, which then goes into the body and readjusts the body. So you can actually give people a chiropractic adjustment just with frequencies by telling the body, look, you're supposed to be this way, not that way. So I'm going to be working with her on that. But there's also like a point probe that you can use that has the frequencies. A lot of the classical music had these same frequencies. This is what Alex Collier is talking about.
Yep.
These frequencies are sixth-dimensional frequencies, which will talk to your body to tell it to, instead of being, okay, so like right now I have destruction somewhere. If you play classical music, it readjusts your auric field, which then communicates to the body to heal, to heal, to heal. And they found that kids that had brain problems or retardation or something, they were able to heal themselves by reprogramming the record in the brain.
So that's brilliant.
So yes,
it's
frequencies and sounds are the way to go.
Absolutely. You know, I stumbled across it. I haven't actually played it, but you can actually get different isomers of not isomers, I can't remember the right word. The flavors, if you like, of LSD on frequency from YouTube. Yeah, you just have to type in the right keywords.
I have a tray. So like if I took a drug, I don't do that because I'm high on life. I don't need, you know, LSD or anything. But I have a tray and I can put whatever, you know, poison mushroom or a drug mushroom or LSD or whatever. Even the AIDS virus, you know, those pills are like $900 a piece. I can take one pill, put it on my tray, and my biofeedback will pick up on that frequency. and then I send it in the subspace so I can work long distance. I can work, you know, I've worked on you and you're there and I'm here. I'm in Arizona, you're in the UK. But, so that's one way. But now if you look at NES, N-E-S, NES has a, like a remote control. And so what you do is you plug it into your, use a USB, you plug it into your computer, and then I can download the set of frequencies that you need to your remote control all through the computer. Then you unplug it and you can use it for pain or healing or whatever you want. And you can do it as much as you want because you got your own remote control. That's where we're going.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I've actually been working on a little device, which is, it's a box, and you plug different things into the box. You can plug a laser wand. You can use it as an acupuncture. You can plug, I've got 660 nanometer a wand. I've also got that, which is an LED wand, still very bright. And I've got sunglasses, which you put on your you put on and close your eyes, and it shines on your eyelids, and it flashes a frequency, and you can apply the frequency in through the back of your eyelids, through straight through into the cortex. So
perfect.
So this is something I've been working on for the last 10 years as well. But at the moment, people find it a little bright. I've got really sort of super bright LEDs. Some people find it very intense, a little too intense. So I'm going to work on ways of toning it down. And it's all to do with the computer program of it. But anyway, that's another story. But yes, there are ways of applying frequency that you know, that are new, that you can't, you think, what's that? That's not an injection. That's not a pill. You know, you're putting on a pair of sunglasses and you're sticking, you know, you pressing a button. Is that a pill? No, it's a new way of being healed.
I've got two patients. One's in, I've got, a couple. I work with some people that are in Canada. I'm in Arizona. And I kid you not, within 10, 15 minutes after working on them, they know it. And they'll sit up in bed. Like I have one lady in Georgia, and she'll be in excruciating pain, laying on ice packs, can't move. And within 15 minutes of me working on her, boom, she sits up in bed and goes, oh, my God, Sam's working on me. I don't have any pain. Look at this. I've worked on a cat that was laying on the floor. And you can't tell a cat, hey, she's working on you. So there's no preemptive, sugar pill here. I just started working on Felix, and Felix would get up off of the floor. Ethan Fox, it was his cat, Felix, and I checked. Felix is still alive, but Felix was injected with steroids and antibiotics, and he almost died. And every time that I would work on Felix, he would get up off the floor, he would start eating, he would drink water, he'd start meowing. So after I worked on him for a couple of days and I got him built up, then I thought, okay, I'm going to hit him. You know, I'm going to give him everything that he needs and surrounds him. This device, the biofeedback, actually works on 10 dimensions. Of course, you can't prove it, but if you're on different dimensions, you're actually working on that individual and their frequency on multiple dimensions. That's how crazy this thing is. But anyway, I got worked on Felix for about a week solid. So what I do, my protocol is I always build them up and make them really strong, and then I start knocking off the whatever pathogen it is. Then you build them up, increase their oxygen, purify the blood and detox that, clean out the lymphatic system, and then you start knocking stuff out again. And then you build them up, knock it down, build them up, and then I give them a rest after a certain amount of time. And like I said, Felix, he's alive today because of it, and I worked long distance, which was just mind-boggling.
Excellent. So, look, people are asking, it's coming up to quarter two, what's your website for this? I mean, you've got loads of websites because you're a multifaceted, multidimensional being. But what's the link for this stuff. This is a SCIO machine you're talking about, or biofeedback, or a bioresonance is also what it's known as. I mean, they're very specific, high-frequency, radionic-type devices, but they also have, like, computer interfaces that image, like, you can image somebody from across the world or something, can't you?
Yeah, I can get 3D images of people and what's going on with their body, their chakra systems, their auric field. You can look, I mean, this thing is just mind-boggling. You can actually talk to people on other dimensions with it. You can erase karmic ties to people, which I do that all the time when I'm working with people, balance their chakra, clean up their aura. I help facilitate ascension, you know. And I just kind of do that without telling people, really. My patients trust me, so they're just like, go, Sam, do what you want. And I always do it with love. And whatever I would do for me, I do for them, probably more for them, because I love them. So that's my MO. My website is quantumhealing.club. And because we do the natural industry, we had to be a private club. So it's $10 to join, and it's a lifetime membership. But I have all kinds of articles in there and stuff. And right now I'm getting my certification, and I have one more test to take, and I'm like 2 weeks away from taking my test. So I'm not really taking new patients right now, but you can look at all the articles and information that I have there. And I want people to choose what they feel is right for them. And look at me as like a health coach and to help guide you to where you want to go. I always let my people decide what they want. I don't dictate to anybody.
Yeah, well, I think that the what we do is to help people, you know, just we're on the next step and just another, you know, just give them a hand aboard and there we are. It's like just getting on the boat. And helping them find their legs, because the boat vibrates differently.
Right.
And it takes a while to find your feet on it before you get there. So once again, what is your website? Because it escapes me now.
Quantumhealing.club.
Quantumhealing.club. Quantumhealing.club. Remember that. That's an unusual website name, but it's www.quantumhealing.club. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I'm setting this up to be like an online clinic, and people can get what they want. So I kind of want it to have like a flavor like a grocery store where you're in charge of your health, and there's going to be different modalities. I'm bringing in some of my friends that also are in different modalities, but it kind of accomplishes the same thing. And then I teach people how to set up their own wellness center, because I want them to be in charge of their health, not somebody else. So I teach them and I guide them. I get them to get, you know, the right paraphernalia that they need to be in charge of their own health and destiny.
So there you go.
So, do we have more time?
Oh yeah, we got about 7 to 10 minutes for this segment, and then the rest of the next segment. So, we could do a couple of readings if you want. You know, we haven't done a parallel reading for a while, have we?
No, but I also want to tell you.
You got
you
loads
about
of stuff to talk about. All right, go on. So cram it in. Cram it in.
ET information. It's your turn to talk.
What were you going to say?
I also want to tell you about, you know, what's going on with the star people, what's coming down. See, the reason why I got into biofeedback and this type of quantum healing is because of my connection with George. And George, for those that don't know, is, Ray Kozelandich is my buddy. And he's on vacation right now. He's taking some time out for himself. So I'm kind of carrying the torch by myself right now. But it's one of his Fab Four. And George is the Elephant Man. And he does not look like Ness in Jupiter is ascending. People have posted that. He doesn't look like that. He's chocolate brown, and he's got more flappy ears, which are kind of cute. George is like Ganesh. He's 13th dimensional, and he is number two in command for the removal process of the Dark Cabal. And Valiant Thor is number one in charge. That's why Valiant Thor came down here and was checking out what was happening in politics and at the Pentagon, and, you know, who was who and how everything was structured. And after he got his information, which took 3 years, then he split and he left. He's from Venus. He doesn't have a belly button, so people are thinking that, you know, he might, you know, Thor, come on, that he's an angel. He was never born. He's in existence from, like, a divine essence. But so Alex talks to Andromedans, and there's other people that talk to other ET types. You know, Tulik talks to Andromedans too. I talk to George, and George gives me information not just about, he doesn't give me confidential information about wars or anything like that. I don't have a clue until like a day before or 2 days before, and then he'll give me information, and then, you know, then whatever will happen. But he's very secretive because it is a battle out there. But he also gives me information on how to best step into our power, how to become the best that we can. What do we have to get in alignment? What do we need to do to focus on ourselves and make ourselves the driving force in our lives and be empowered? So that's also really important. And then when something's about to hit, like right now, he's talking about these new energies coming in and people that are out of alignment with their authentic self are really going to be acting really weird right now. They're going to be angry. They're going to be frustrated. And those are the people that are still being the play actors on this 3D stage. And there is no judgment. Everybody's learning, and then the collective all learns. But for those people that are not now starting to get in alignment with their fifth dimensional selves, then they're going to start having some issues.
Yeah, but I can definitely feel that.
Yeah, and it's going to get really, really intense here pretty soon. The other thing he said, too, is this is kind of interesting. Because for eons we've been subjected to all these poisons that the Dark Cabal has been subjecting us to. But he said that we're going to start detoxing. So he told me, he said, just like I can use my Skio or my biofeedback device to work on people on the crafts that they have over our heads, they're working on groups of people at the same time, that they have similar technology but better, and so they're able to work with whole groups of people around the world. And so there is one of these health motherships, I don't know distance, maybe, you know what, 100 miles, and they're all connected, and so then they're responsible for their one section, and then hopefully they have a contactee or an intuitive or a channel that is connected to them, that they can get information to the people in that area and start to raise the vibration. So right now what we have, which is so cool, you're into music, you know how you have high notes, low notes, and you have, when you're looking at your screen, you see the ups and downs of the bars. Well, that's what's happening around the world right now, is that we have all these people waking up at different times, but we're all starting to get active. And they're bringing everybody to their potential by what they can handle, by the group. They're looking at the group, so 100 miles by 100 miles, and they monitor the group to see how much they can handle, and then they're bringing everybody up at the same time. And so they have all these different ships around the globe that are orchestrating this awakening for all of us, which is just fascinating to me. So, do you have any questions?
Well, yeah, there's a question from the chat room from Onika. JP, what does Ms. Muggsy recommend to cure, well, we don't like that word, cure, but let's address the issue of diabetes type 2?
Super, super simple. Diabetes, again, okay, so cure is illegal for us to use. We cannot use that term. So the Rockefellers have passed some laws that we cannot use that term. So the correct term is to de-stress. And when you're looking at diabetes, it's the pancreas. So the pancreas is whacked out and not working properly. So that tells me that you probably have parasites in this area that's causing some kind of malfunction. So that's what I would do first. Because when you are healing your body, what you want to do is you want to empower your body to do what it needs to do. And if you have a foreign agent in there that's holding your body back, that's going to be a huge mistake. So we need to get rid of all these foreign agents, because the body has mechanisms over mechanisms over mechanisms to heal itself. So our job is to get rid of the foreign agents that are causing the destruction, and then feeding your body the nutrients that it needs so it can heal itself. So type 2 diabetes, I've also seen where they have said that this is a form of malnutrition. And the reason why you have malnutrition is because the parasites are taking all of
their nutrients. Eating all your food before you have a chance to. Who is the counselor that George is with?
He works with a wide variety of people. This is one thing we need to get away from, discrimination, because he works with, there's actually a dictionary, I call it Starology. I have it on EBH.club, another one of my websites, and I have a diary of when George tells me stuff. I keep a log of all of his information in there. But there's under Starology, there's his dictionary. Alfred Weber had it too, with Ray Kozelandich. You can see that show. There is a whole slew of people. It depends what George has done, what Valiant Thor has done, is they bring in the people that are best known for whatever they're going to do. The Andromedans are very good people. You know, they can relate to the people. They can get to us without offending us, and they can give us information without us feeling bullied. So they've been very, very effective with that. That's, the Palladians had a big problem with that because they're a little too crass, and so people were offended when they first started coming down and trying to talk to people. And this was like in the 50s, 40s and 50s. But that's why so many starseeds jumped in, so that we could learn the ways of what's happening on this planet and then be able to relate to the people to start waking them up when the time came. But George works with the frog people, the Arcturians. The Arcturians are master healers. They understand not just our physical selves, but the healing modalities are just superior, in my opinion. They're just like one hair above the rest of the ETs. They share all their information. So I know Alex talks about, the glass slides where they can go back and pull your healthiest sample of yourself and be able to reprogram that within you. We have the same capability with the biofeedback machines, and that's what people don't understand. And I need to say that not all biofeedbacks are the same. So there are some out there that are not effective. They don't have all the capacity that we do, that the SKIO does. So you really need to do your homework before you purchase something, because some of them are scams and they shut down companies and then open up a new one, and then when the law's after them. And it's really a disgrace to the whole industry that they're doing this. So I hope that that stops in the future. But there's the frog people, like I said, and the frog people, there's also the worm people. They're sampling all the soils and figuring out how they're going to be able to help Gaia to become a nurturing planet again, to sustain forestation, and how we're going to clean up the waterways and stuff like that. There are the Vulcans, and I love the Vulcans and the what I call the blue-haired, like the monkeys. You know how the monkeys used to have that haircut, or the beetles, they had that bull haircut. These are the blue warriors. I love when they go on a battle. We've heard them on the ships, and they have like a no-nonsense type of personality where, you know, if you're a good person, they'll bend over backwards to be your friend, and they're very pleasant. But if you're one of these dark cabal people that's screwing people over and murdering people and doing all this nonsense, they just get furious at their ignorance and how they don't value life. Life is everything. And when people trust you and you betray that trust, that's a huge violation. So they get pissed, and you can hear it. When George gets pissed, he's funny because he has that trunk, and you can hear him squealing. And he sometimes, like if I'm watching a video, he'll come in on my computer, and I'm watching a video, and say it's something that, you know, I don't have opinion about. I'm just interested in the subject matter. Well, George will start screeching on my computer, and I know that he doesn't like that person, or that person is misleading people. And that is one of George's biggest, it pisses him off big time. When there are people that are humans, they're supposed to be working with humans and helping humans, and yet we have these disinfo agents that for a paycheck or to be in their in club, to sit on velvet chairs and, I don't know, drink champagne, that is just insane to the star people that they would violate the trust of their own kind. That's like one of the biggest sins. So they get, you can hear them just scream. The ant people, they click, you know, they go, and when they're in battle and there's a lot of shooting going on and things are intense, you can hear George screeching out of his little trunk, and the ant people are clicking back and forth, and then you got the Serpos who are making another sound, and so it's just really interesting to hear how they all talk and communicate and how well they work together. But the one thing that's always appreciated and valued is if your race is genetically superior, or you guys have studied something, then you're known for that something, and everybody works together in the council. So there's, I don't know, Ray has met, I think it is 37, the bee people, the bird people, and I don't know who's next. But when he met the Vulcans, you know, a lot of people can't wrap their heads around this, but I actually spent a lot of time talking to Ray on the computer, and, you know, we're listening to George and stuff, and we'll spend like 4 hours on the computer because it's just so fascinating. But one time we're just chatting away, and all of a sudden I go, what the hell is that? And he goes, what? And I said, over your head there is a light that just opened up like a portal over his head in his kitchen as he's talking on his computer. He didn't even see it. And I said, hey, there is something going on. Look at that thing. And it started out about like a salad plate, this light that came in. It was back behind him. It wasn't over his head like a halo or anything. It looked more like a portal of this light. And then it grew, and it was like the size of a bike tire, like a 10-speed bike tire. And it was there for a while, and I could see like these purple hue rays coming down, like almost like it was iridescent. So I knew it was an energy. It was a frequency that was coming in. And I said, you know, look at this. You know, this is something. He even shut off his lights so that we, because we were testing everything to thinking that, you know, something was mirroring off of it. And so we were trying to figure out what was creating this. So he shut the lights off. And this thing was still illuminating in his kitchen about the size of a 10-speed bike tire. And so I took pictures of it. I have pictures of it. And he was like, I don't know. I don't know what this is. George didn't tell me anything. I don't have a clue. So it was about 2 days later that started again in his kitchen. So see, they do it. They expose us to it so we can get used to it. So the next time we see it, we get comfortable with it. Oh, okay. I remember what that was. Didn't do anything. Well, this time it opened up, and Ray could see a Vulcan, and he was talking to a Vulcan that said, "Hey, we're gonna be meeting. Would you be okay? You know, in 2 days, let's meet and let's go to this destination, whatever." And so he agreed to it. He said, "Okay, I'll go." So then he met with them, and he goes to these certain destinations, and he met with them. And then it was about 4 days after that, you know, somebody that was close to me at that time was discrediting what Ray had experienced and said, oh, I don't believe it, that, you know, that can't happen, he's making that up, he's just blah, blah, blah. And I know Ray, he's not going to do that. I know him. I've spent mega hours on the phone with him or Skype with him, and he's not a liar. Anyway, so I'm sitting in my armchair watching TV, and lo and behold, son of a gun, if that light didn't start to open up in my living room, and I'm like, no way, I'm not meeting no Vulcans. You know what? I'm not, you go talk to Ray, because I don't want to go on any ships or anything, because I still don't know enough about it. But it started in my living room, and I could see it, and it was about the size of like a bowl or something. It was a little bit smaller than a salad plate, and I could see it. And then once I said, no way, okay, I get it, you guys are here, you guys are real, and I understand, okay, I get it, you know, go away, go see Ray. So it shut down after that, and it hasn't happened since. But any time that somebody starts to discredit Ray, then I'll have the same experience or something similar, so that I know what's happening and that it's real. So Ray and I are really lucky, because we both get to experience things. So like with Alex, he doesn't really have somebody that he can have back him up, or, you know, share the problems that he's had, and be able to converse with somebody on the side to pick him up and help him, because it is a lonely industry, and it can be pretty devastating at times, because you see something and it's happening and you know it's happening, but you have people that you've never even met. They don't even know who the heck you are, and yet you're wanting to tell them your story because it might help them. But most people would rather, you know, kill the messenger than listen to what you have to say. Especially in the olden days, but it's getting better now. So anyway, Ray and I have a unique situation where we get to share ideas. And what George has done is that he will give me information. So like, he'll give me a download. Sometimes I've gone like at sleep, I astral travel with him, and he's taken me places. And I always know that he's there and I can see what's happening and I get explicit detail. And then I come back and I write about it on my website. And then it's really cool because Ray doesn't have a clue that I got my information. And so what I'll do is, I'll ask Ray, I'll say, hey, did you get any information from George lately? And he goes, yeah, I just talked to him yesterday. I got all kinds. Really? What were you talking about? And it's the same thing. And we use different words to describe it, but it's the same piece of the puzzle, that we get each and every time. And this has been going on for 2.5 years now. So we can almost compare notes. And sometimes I'll get more detail on something because that's what I'm interested in. And sometimes he gets more because that's what he's interested in. So it's just kind of funny how this all comes together, you know. But what George has said right now, what everybody should know is that they're probably going to be, don't be surprised if you start sweating profusely for no reason. Just take a shower and get it off of you. And you want to be using like a sulfur soap to be cleaning this, a lot of fungus out. It has to do with these frequencies that these ships are now, putting over us and causing our bodies to detox. And so we're going to be sweating a lot. And the other thing is too.
as you're saying that, I'm just sitting here doing nothing and I'm really hot and I'm sweating a lot. So yeah, it feels like I'm baking.
Yeah, that's it. They're detoxing you to get rid of this, and it's going to help the body to heal itself. But the next thing too is don't be surprised if you're not sleeping. I mean, I went 2 days without no sleep, and I didn't take anything, I swear. No coffee, nothing. I was just bouncing off the walls, cleaning the house, work on the websites. I mean, I could have ran a mile, you know.
And the other thing at this point, Sam, is were you in love with everybody at the same time? Did you feel
what?
This kind of... Did you not... I mean, for the last couple of weeks, last few weeks, I've just been in love with everybody. No matter who they are, the postman, I just have this incredible feeling of love for everyone. It's just incredible.
That's it.
You know when you're drunk and you've had just enough, too much to drink, and you go through this, you go around, I love you, and then you're violent or violently sick. But when it's this upwelling, it's a reaction to this feeling
my
heart is so open. Everybody is so lovely. You know?
That was from the Pleiadians. That was a gift from them. That was a specific Blu-ray frequency that was given to everybody. Not just so we feel love for everybody, but so we personally feel the love coming from them. That was a gift from them because they do love us that much, and so they wanted to shine this. Emanate this love vibration onto us. And so that was a couple of weeks ago. You're right.
Excellent.
And now it's the Arcturians. So the Arcturians are working on the healing aspect. So everybody is working in a consortium to help us every facet of every need that we have. It's all hands on deck to get us to the fifth dimension, to make us viable and healthy so we can get to a higher vibrational life. And what we're doing is we were collapsing timelines. And so when you collapse timelines, this is something else. When you start collapsing timelines, then you are collapsing yourself too. So, like, if there are 20 timelines, there is a representation of us on every timeline. So as we're, like, kaleidoscoping into one, we keep getting more and more of these essences of ourselves. And this is what's making us smarter. This is what's making us stronger. This is what's making us more in tune. This is bringing out the best in us. And once we get to that one... then we're like, we can be a needle going through the eye of the ring of fire into a higher dimensional life, which is a frequency. Now, what happened was, is that on these higher frequencies, so let's say there's 20 levels. There is one of JP on all 20. So you're collapsing and becoming better, better and stronger as you're reuniting with all the essences of yourself. But let's say on that last ring, your mother was not on that ring, that last 20th. So that means on number 19, they're going to terminate because they cannot go into a reality where they don't already have their essence self. And that is also why a lot of the Dark Cabal members are actually in underground bases hiding, and they're using clones on the surface, and they're maneuvering the clones to act in their behalf because they can't be on the surface because of these frequencies. Because then they would just deconstruct. So, and there was a story where in CERN, that there was all these scientists, and they activated a portal, and then there was screaming, the lights went down and stuff. When they turned the lights on, the head person that they called Father was a pile of dust on the chair. That's because that person did not have the intention to go into a higher frequency vibrational life, and that person probably was not on the fifth dimension. So if they're not on the fifth dimension already, they cannot enter. But all of us are probably already on the fifth dimension, which means we can now enter into that higher frequency life and be absorbed into that fifth dimensional person being. And we're going to keep doing this. So if you are actually an eighth-dimensional being, you can still raise your frequency into that eighth-dimensional being. You just have to learn those lessons from that dimension. And then you raise your vibration, and you do what you need to do to be a higher-frequency being. And then, boom, you go through the next layer.
It's about being able to vibrate on a frequency. Because all
Absolutely.
Of these things, and one of the things that I've been doing with recently with my sessions is to bring people back to their Lyran self before the big trauma, and that then restores them. You know, you were talking about the Andromedan camera that takes people back. They take a hologram
right.
and they take people back to when they were healthy again. Well, I take people back to when they were Lyran again. And then bring the Lyran forward into the life. Just the same as I was doing with the traumatized inner child. And, to lock it in, they have a color. Now I never suggest a color. I just ask them what the color is that they're seeing and, what color they're wearing, when they, you know, approach their Lyran self. And that's how they lock in. So, whenever they imagine that color, so I encourage people to put that color onto your screensaver or something like that. So you keep locking in to your natural born frequency, your pure frequency, as it were. So that's essentially the same as what all these bio resonance biofeedback devices are called are doing, is to get you to the frequency that is the good one, the sweet spot, as it were.
To get you to your authentic self, to who you really are.
Precisely, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people are kind of whacking out because they're not in compatibility with who they really are. So
yeah, because they're not breathing.
3D, yeah, but here's the thing that some people are not from Lyra. You're going to find when you start doing readings and stuff that some people are not from Lyra. This is their first incarnation. And they are just here as star seeds to either teach or raise the frequency or clear karma from a family lineage.
Well, here's the thing. I'm aware that not everybody's from Lyra. I'm aware that actually we're made of lots of different beings, and each of those right. beings has its own trauma. And so
right.
my scope has kind of broadened out, because it's not just one thing, it's a whole and that's why they call it a complex. You know, they call it the inferiority complex. It's because we got all of these different conflicting traumas and expressions, and these all happen in the subconscious. We don't even realize that they're going on. We're not even conscious. And then somebody's saying, you're doing that deliberately. No, I'm not. You know, I'm just saying what I think I'm saying. And, you know, I'm not trying to be mean or anything in the way I'm wording something. I'm not, you know, putting an edge in it just to hurt you. I'm just saying what I'm saying. And if it comes out and you're being triggered, that's your issue. But.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, when I work on with the biofeedback, okay, so one of the things I do is I work on releasing karma, because that will attach your emotions and could be to the spine and brings down the whole body, as I explained earlier. So when I release the karma, okay, so I'm just giving like a suggestion to the auric field to release this, heal this and release it. The person that I'm working on within 10 or 15 minutes could just start crying for no reason. And then they'll email me and they'll say, are you working on me? Because I've got, you know, it's pretty funny that they'll tell their husbands, oh, don't worry about it, Sam's just releasing something again. I mean, it gets to that point. But afterwards, they'll tell me, God, I feel so free. I feel light. I'm happy. And they don't even know why. But yeah, DNA will hold memory. Not just your memory, but will hold at least five generations of memory. So it might not even be your memories that you're holding on to. It could be your grandmother's. Your grandmother was molested and she's pissed, and you know, you've carried this now in your DNA and you don't even know why.
See what I mean? It's complex.
It's a very complex world. There's a lot of dynamics that are coexisting at the same time on this planet. It's not two-dimensional, you know. And that's what just boggles my mind with the star people, the councils that have gotten together, that have figured out a way to help us and liberate us from all of these traps. Because they've had to do it in a manner that would be helping us, not creating fear, but liberating us. But one of the things that George has told me over and over and over and over again, they want to be our friends. They want to be equal to us. And so they don't want to be the gods. They don't want to be worshipped. They don't want to be on any. The moment you start putting them on a pedestal or wanting to put a crown on their head, they're gone. They will not do it. It turns their stomach upside down. They don't want anything to do with it. They want to be our equals, like our friends. And it's a give and take. And what the human race needs to understand is that we have a lot to offer too. We're not coming to the table as subservient, you know, slaves because we need them. This is a yin and yang. This is a give and take. And we have something to offer, too. And we need to step up to the plate and believe in ourselves so that when we do meet the star people, which I wanted to tell you on your show, that they're going to start showing themselves. And I don't mean in a cloud or, you know, way out, way out. They're going to start showing themselves in a way where we get tangible proof. And if the dark cabal gets in the way, don't be surprised if a lot of rain clouds come in out of the blue and then all of a sudden there's all this lightning and no storm. Because they will just clear out the bases. Right now, they are to a point where they're not messing around anymore. So if the dark cabal, the Dracos, are in some base somewhere and they want to take on the Starve People, or what I call the G Alliance, George's force, because he's number two in man, they want to take him on. Hey, they're ready for him. Go for it. George laughs because he says the equipment that they're using is like archaic stuff that should be in a museum compared to what they have. So if they want to take them on, go for it. They're ready. That's what he says.
So we're, see, there's all these different conflicting ideas about who the Dark Cabal is and what their secret space program's about. What does George...
It doesn't really matter. George always says, don't worry about that right now. What people need to be focusing on is, yeah, if you're interested and you want to take a peek at it, you know, go ahead. But don't dwell on it, because everything is going to be made available to us pretty soon. Everything. So if there are people that are giving out disinformation, which, like I said, is George's and several others' pet peeves, I mean, Valiant Thor pet peeve. So if there's people that are doing that, they're going to get egg on their face, and they're going to end up getting dished back exactly what they gave. And the Universal Energies, which is Gaia herself, she knows what people are doing. So she'll give it to them to teach them a lesson as their kids, like spank them. But it's all coming. But we are, and the ones that are doing good, that are helping people, and I don't mean being a doormat and letting people walk on you, but the ones that are like Alex, you know, what Alex has gone through. I just really admire him and helping people. And he's helped so many people. All of those are like little gold nuggets that are going to start coming back to him energetically, universally, and from the planet. He's going to start, you're going to see Alex where he's going to shoot right up, because he's trustworthy and he's helped people and people love him. So it's going to emanate all these good feelings, and things are going to start to flow to him easily. And he'll start, the only way that he's going to be able to stay down is if he puts his own weights in his shoes. Otherwise, he's going to be on a helium balloon, and he's going to be doing really well.
So, George's alliances. And where does George come from? I mean, what's his Urian, you know? Well, does he come from this universe, or does he come from parallel dimension?
I don't have all that information yet. I did post something from Elena Deputnik, also talks to George, and I think it's called Star Traveler. She has a blog, and she wrote down what George told her about where she's from. Again, now here is one ET star person, and he communicates with three different people differently, depending on what our educational level is and what we're interested in. So I just, you know, I never really cared what planet he came from, because he lives on a ship, and he's got a couple of different ships that he flies. And so that's, you know, what's in the now is kind of where I'm at, what I like to know, and tell me more. Where Elena Deputnik, she wanted to know where he came from. So she got all that information, and it's on her website, which is called Star Traveler. And then George, Ray has a different relationship, and he gets different information. So it's just, and that's the way that the star people are going to be with each one of us. They're going to have a different relationship with each one of us, and they're going to relate to us depending on what interests us or what we like or what we can contribute to one another. Just like we have friends that bring out different facets of our personality. It's going to be the same thing. But George wants everybody to know that they're going to start showing their crafts now. I mean, really, if you're looking, you're going to be able to see. So this is the next phase that's coming.
All right. I've been looking at Star Traveler. Is it, eleanorlist.wix.com, Star Traveler Messages? Is that her?
I don't know. I'll have to send you the link.
Did you say Eleanor, though? Or what was the name?
I believe it's Star Traveler.
Anna Paduloma? Anna Sazy?
No. I'll send it to you and then you can post it for
people. Yeah, because I'm looking at there's loads of people called Star Traveler.
Oh, but the picture that she has, like, I wanted to know what George looks like. I've seen him twice as a hologram image. So that's what I was comfortable with, where Ray could go on a ship. You know what I mean? Where with me, I was comfortable with the hologram image. So all of a sudden I saw him. It was just like Star Trek, you know, when they, like, buzz in when they're going to teleport. That's what you see. And so I got to see what he looked like, and I've seen him a couple of times. The thing that's really interesting about George is that what I found fascinating is that his thighs were way longer than his calves. His calves were shorter than what ours is, because we're pretty proportionate, where I noticed that his thighs, and he's muscular, too. He's very muscular. He's chocolate brown. You could see the hair on him, like little fuzzies. And his ears are large and floppy. He doesn't wear makeup like they do with Ganesh. He rolls his eyes at that. He's a warrior. And he's very buff. His chest is very, they're very muscular. And they do work out on the ship. They have gyms and stuff. And their body is very important to them, and they take very good care of it. That's one thing that always amazes George, is that we don't take care of our bodies. We don't appreciate what we have, and our bodies are very, very amazing. There's other star people that would love to have our physical essence, but we don't take care of ours. We just throw it away, and now we'll get another one. So, question.
Questions. Let me see. Well, I found the page of Elena Kapurnik. And
yeah, that's her.
Yeah, so I got the page of with the E.T. George there, and he's got an earring and stuff.
Yeah, that's not George. George, he laughed at that. He would be caught dead with an earring in. He doesn't do the feminine anything. No eyeliner, no. He doesn't do that. You know, that's Western, what they want to do. You know, he's put eyeshadow on him and stuff, and he just rolls his eyes and thinks that's disgusting. He's a man. And he has a girlfriend that lives on his ship. George has three ships that I know of. He flies in a silver, like, cigar case type thing. It's really long and big, and he lives on that one. That's where everybody's, you know, that lives. It's part of the crew that contributes to whatever they're contributing to. It has multiple floors, and there's everything on there that you can imagine.
All right. That's so was this the ship that knocked out the Mars probe? Because I remember years ago, NASA sent a probe up to Mars. They saw this thing, and they saw this long cigar shaped thing, and then it kind of got shorter and shorter as you saw from their perspective, it turned towards it, facing it. And eventually you just saw a circle, and then you saw a flash of light from the circle, and then that's the last time you saw, that's the last time you saw the satellite. Was that George's people, you know, sort of zapping it?
Yeah. And, they can, Alex talked about this too. They bend time and space, but they space, which is just incredible, because one time I saw a gold craft outside my window, and I live up on a hill, and so the craft was, like, you know, eye to eye with me, where the people were down below, but I could see because I'm on a hill, and it looked like just a small little craft. Right? It looked like, oh, it was about the size of like a salad plate or something again. And then when you look at it and you keep watching it, you see it starts to grow And the next thing you see is that there is like lights on the top, and then there's windows, and then there's like these black things in the middle, and you just stare at that, and all of a sudden you start to see those are parking garages that are divided. So there's chunks and chunks and chunks all the way around the middle where people can pull into these things. And it's a mothership. And it started out really tiny. I mean, I was like, what's that speck? And then all of a sudden you see where it's like magnanimous, and it's over the whole circumference of my city. And on the bottom they had multiple lights. And then there was one big like glowing white light in the middle underneath. Which is probably how it propelled itself. But it's funny how it can grow. And the more that you watch it, you'll see how it will expand when it comes into this dimension, how it will start out small as it's coming in. Maybe it's on other timelines or something. I don't know. I don't understand it yet.
It's the dimensionality. You get a smaller footprint in the third dimension than you do in the fifth. And that's... The whole thing about Doctor Who's time machine, the TARDIS, is when people step into it, its footprint on this planet is a box that is like 6-8 feet diameter, not even that, 6 feet diameter. But its reality is enormous, like a mansion inside, because it's on the fifth dimension. That's what Alex was saying. That's exactly what's been going on with a lot of these ET craft that have been captured. You know, they step into them and they like go on forever. You know, where does all this space come from?
But George has a triangle ship. It's black with red lights underneath, multiple ones, and he uses that one to go around and scout, or he might. But then he has another one that's like a two-seater circular one, and that one goes really fast. And he can go into timelines and come back. Or sometimes he's had to go, like really fast. He's flying to Jupiter and back, and he's checking out all the planets. So I've been with George and monitored when he was actually going to the different planets and observing them being liberated, and he's watching the progress and talking to those people, and he's jetting from planet to planet. And I've also been with him when he's gone in timelines, and he's going through different timelines, and it makes like a swooshing sound that's very different. It has a different sound when he's going through timelines versus when he's going from planet to planet. And when they are blowing up big ships, like reptilian ships and stuff, you can actually hear that from our computers. We've been hearing that.
And you can actually You've been saying you've been on the computer with George. So computers do a lot of things. But what exactly? You've been like on Skype, and you hear sound coming in through the Skype call.
What has happened is that Ray and I will be talking on Skype, so we're connected. Well, George is connected to each one of our computers. And I've actually demonstrated this on Alfred Weber's show, where when I hang up, then you only hear part of George. It comes in very faint. But then when I come into the call, then you get this stereo sound from both of our computers. So George is connected to, he monitors, he does this with Ray too, but he monitors my phone. So like right now I'm on the phone and he's listening to everything that we're saying. And if I was saying something that he didn't agree with or whatever, you could hear him sometimes. He'll come in the background. Or he'll disconnect me. Like if I'm talking to somebody that he doesn't like, he'll disconnect the phone call. But Ray and I are sitting on Skype, and George will be on each one of our computers and listening to us talk. Meanwhile, we can hear what's going on the ship too. So if there's somebody that is if he's on the board, where he's monitoring what's going on, and there's all these people around, and they're monitoring different things, on the, like the, I don't know what you call it, like, you know, Star Trek, where you go onto the main floor. When you're there, you can hear the other people working together. And George starts, like, he gets, you can feel his energy, but you can also hear him get really excited when something's going down, when they're going into battle, and when they're going to be, when they're chasing somebody. And then all of a sudden you'll hear, kapow, you'll hear, you can actually hear the bombs going off. Alfred Weber, we grabbed him one time, pulled him in and had him listen to it so he could, you know, witness what we were hearing and the different sounds of, we can hear, like, we got so good that we could tell the difference between, like, a major explosion from, like, a missile that was being fired versus lasers. Laser weapons make a different sound. And if they're chasing somebody, you can hear, like, they're rushing through the wind, and you can hear them, like, they're going for it. And then all of a sudden you'll hear off the starboard, you know, and so you know that they're blowing them up. Pretty cool.
So, listening to Space Battles, talking to Ray. Now, tell people a little bit about Ray, because Ray's not just a single person. He's a generational contactee, isn't he? Tell the people about who Ray is.
Ray has a heart of gold. He's just like a good old boy, but he's third generation. It started with his grandfather. And his grandfather was, I believe, a lumberman. And so he would go out and cut down trees or whatever. And he would always tell his wife to pack an extra sandwich. And so his wife was like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. And so when he would have lunch, he'd sit down on a log, and this elf dude would show up, and he would offer him a sandwich, and they would sit there and talk. And this elf told the grandfather that his grandson would be meeting many ETs, that he was going to be exposed to the star people the most, that his dad would, because I guess the grandfather asked, well, are, you know, other people in my family going to be able to meet, you know, you and stuff, are we going to be able to continue this? And they said, yeah, we are going to do that. So they did meet with the father, and the father, I don't know how many groups the father had met. It was probably only like seven. But Ray, then when he was about, I think he was about 9 or 10, there was a craft that showed up. It was a little craft. And he actually picked up a rock and was going to nail the craft with a rock, because it was a little one. And it turned out to be those little 2-inch guys that he was talking about that sound like they're full of helium. And so he got to meet them, and then he met, he got his Fab Four that always came to him, which was George, a Nordic, a Serpo Gray, and then the 2-inch helium dudes. And so those were like his guides and his mentors, and they were always with George, with Ray. And Ray would go and sit at conference tables and talk to them about what was coming for humanity, and about the changes. And, you know, one thing about Ray is that he's very loyal to them. And God bless him, you know, thank you for being that way. So he would get information, and he wouldn't even tell me, because he knows I'm loyal to the people. So I'm going to tell the people what I know, because if I want to know, then I think they want to know, and they have a right to know. So Ray would keep secrets from me. But when I would get him on the radio, I could actually trick him into giving a little bit of a gold nugget, which made the show fun. So Ray's a great, and he speaks from his heart.
Yep, and you're starting to cut out. Mm-hmm. So Always good fun. Yeah, so in terms of your own guides though, Sam, you know, you've had contact all through your own life, I'm sure. What have you been receiving from through your own communications? When, like, for instance, when you do a healing with people, you know, a session, there's information that comes through for you as well, isn't there?
Right. You know, this is kind of the beauty is that, well, I started being an intuitive when I was 6 months old, and I remember reading people's energies. And when I was 8 months old, I actually had comprehension, and my mom would tell me to do certain things when I was 8 months old and I was in my crib. And I remember people telling my mom, she won't do it. She's too young. What are you thinking? She's not going to do that. And then I would do it. And so it would blow people away. She had consciousness at 8 months old. Also, I did not enter my body until I was 3 months old. So this whole thing about abortions and everything, people need to think about that because I did not enter my body until I was 3 months old. The body just kind of existed and developed until it could raise its frequency till I could enter. But it was targeted for me. You know what I mean? So when I was 3 months old is when I entered. And people do get to decide when they're going to enter the physical self. It's not something that just happens in the womb and, no, that's hog. We get to decide when we're going to enter. And I remember I didn't want to go through all the gory stuff. Some people do, so they might be there earlier, but I didn't want to. I wanted to come in when I was. I actually wanted to wait longer and they wouldn't let me.
You like to be all clean and dry.
Yeah, I wanted to wait till I got out of the diaper stage because I hated dirty diapers.
No, it's horrible, isn't it?
Uh-huh. So anyway, but my guys that I've been working with is what they call the Council of Eight, and it is a diverse group. They're a representative of various groups. One is the Palladians, I know that. One is the Andromedans, I know that. And one is the Syrians, and one is an Arcturian. Other than that, I don't know who the other ones are, but they're benevolent, and you always feel them. And they're highly intelligent, which is why I always went to school, because when you're surrounding yourself around those kind of people, you don't want to be the dumb one on the block, you know what I mean? So you keep going to school so you can keep up with them and understand what they're telling you. And I'm still nowhere to where they are. They're very brilliant. But they, the ones that I have been working with were very much into the ascension thing. It's funny because one time, this is a pretty cool story, one time about 6 months ago, I got really discouraged because this whole ascension thing wasn't happening fast enough. People weren't waking up. The dark cabal was doing their shenanigans, and it was depressing. And then they were chemtrailing the hell out of us in Arizona. I mean, just, you know, you'd see 12 planes out at once just fumigating the hell out of us. And so I got really discouraged, and I got depressed, and I was like, you know, screw this, I've had it, you know, I'm gonna go do something else, I'm pissed, I'm in a mood. Pretty soon I go to Facebook, and somebody sends me this message that had to do with my destiny and why I was here, and why I had chosen to be here, and what I was supposed to do, and that this was the answer, and keep doing this. And they called me a certain name that only George knows. So there is ETs on Facebook that are monitoring us, and I know it for a fact. And every time that I get upset or depressed, I get this message from somebody out of the blue, and they send me to exactly what I need to know at that time, and then they disappear. you can't go back later and find them. They're off of Facebook. And I believe that that's what the NSA or the Facebook and those guys that they're monitoring, because the STAR people are communicating with us through Facebook. And they are leaking information to educate us on how to heal our bodies and how to do stuff that they, that Valiant Thor wanted to do back in the 60s or the 50s. So,
yeah,
if you guys aren't on Facebook, don't be surprised.
Because one of the things, you know, in, for instance, 2001, we had the 9/11 incident, which was a mass programming trauma. And so what we need is the equivalent of a mass deprogramming, untrauma, reconnection thing. And I think somehow we're all subconsciously working on this, different aspects of it.
Well, it wasn't just a programming. What they did is they created an inorganic timeline that they controlled, that the Nazis controlled, is what they did. And that's how they took us down into the pits of hell, basically.
Ms. Muggsy, that's it from you and me for another time. Thank you so much. Catch you soon, sweetheart.